You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, I'm Max Richter. I'm a composer. I started in music as a kid, learning the piano. I always had sort of tunes and bits of music going around in my head, and as I got a bit older, I figured out that this was something called composing, and it was something you could do. So I went to university and music college and did all kinds of postgraduate stuff. And then I started making records and writing concert music, and I've done movies and bits of TV and stuff like that as well.
Just on that, do you have a favourite type of, you know, thing that you compose for, whether it be movies or shows or...?
I think they're all different, you know. I mean, I think everything sort of feeds into everything. What I'm really interested in is storytelling. And I think music tells stories in this really nice way, because musical language is very, it feels very specific, but it's also very unspecific. You know, we feel like we're being spoken to, but we're not quite sure what's being said, or something is being said that we can't put into words. And there's something wonderful about that for me. And then, you know, in combination with images, or, you know, with a ballet or in an opera or TV and cinema, you have this other dimension, this other storytelling dimension. And I really enjoy that kind of experience.
In terms of them all being different, is the process of you composing that music different?
Sure, yes. I mean, if I'm writing a piece of orchestral music or, you know, something for a record, then the music is, you know, that's the whole story. And it has to, you know, do all of the work and sort of take you through that landscape just with the sounds themselves. With a piece of cinema or a TV show or something like that, then the music is only part of the story. And actually trying to figure out which part of the story the music should be is one of the real challenges, trying to get the sort of right flavor, the right textures, the right colors, the right sensations into that space from a musical standpoint. It is sort of really the kind of really interesting part of that sort of work. It's kind of like puzzle solving, trying to figure out, you know, which things feel like they belong there.
Tell us about Sleep. What led you to create the show Sleep?
Yeah, Sleep is a kind of, at one level it's a lullaby, you know, it's an invitation to rest, and an experiment to see what happens if, you know, we put music and sleep together in this sort of live space. And the other aspect of it is kind of a political aspect, really. It's more like a protest song. It's a kind of act of rebellion against this sort of neoliberal vision of what human being is, which is this object which produces and consumes, you know, and inhabits this kind of data blizzard. And I just kind of don't think I think there's something very troubling about that, you know. I think we're in a kind of a weird late stage capitalist spiral at the moment, and Sleep is a piece which invites us to kind of, you know, get off that hamster wheel for a minute, that sort of digital hamster wheel, and take a moment or 8 hours to reflect on other things.
How wonderful. I did wonder whether there were any kind of social, political implications to it.
Completely. That's what it's all about, yeah.
And have you had a lot of interest? Are people wanting to do this?
Yeah, a lot of people want to do it. Yeah, a lot of people want to, you know, we get a lot of invitations to put the piece on, but, you know, it's a huge project to make happen. Very, very few spaces can really do it. So I think we've done 10 shows so far, and each one is really a mammoth sort of logistical effort for the venue and the people, and, you know, it's a big deal. It's pretty special when it happens.
Not to mention you have to play for 8 hours.
I do.
How does that go? How does that work?
Well, it's a bit like extreme sports. You know, you have to sort of sleep a lot and get jet lagged the right amount and have the right food. And you know, when I sit down at the beginning of the night, I've got 200 and something pages of piano music to play through. And, you know, it's just a lot. It's just big. It's really, really big. And, like running a marathon, really.
But, not only physically with your arms and your fingers, but mentally that must be exhausting.
It is. Yeah, it is exhausting. I mean, you eventually get into a sort of, you go into a kind of, some kind of trance, I think. And you just sort of, the hours just fly by.
Do you count the pages at all?
Well, I've got all sorts of, sort of time code things and clocks and, markers and showing me where I am and what's going on. So, yeah. So I have a road map through it.
How long did it take you to, prepare for this or write the music and have those time markers, for example?
Yeah, I mean, the piece, I wrote the piece in 2015, I think. We released the record and there was probably about a year of writing on it. But then the other day I was looking through this, sort of tidying up the studio, and I found sketches for Sleep, which I'd forgotten about, which were from 1994. It's just been sort of, in my sort of brain somewhere for quite a long time.
That's incredible. What's the relationship to Vivaldi?
Well, the Vivaldi's a weird one because I loved the Four Seasons when I was a kid, and I fell in love with it, and it's one of the first pieces of sort of classical music I got to know. But then later on, you just hear it on advertising and on, hold on when you're on hold to somebody or other, and it's on the TV. It's a jingle basically, and so it got kind of tainted by that association, and I just couldn't really appreciate it anymore as music. So what I wanted to try and do is to try and take a almost kind of like a road trip through that landscape that Vivaldi had made and go sort of different routes through it, sort of off-road, and try to sort of discover new things about it by writing through it, making this new score which I wrote and then we recorded. So that was my sort of, it was an attempt to really rediscover it for myself.
This might be a silly question, but are you at all worried that people will sleep and completely miss your performance?
Well, in Recomposed or in Sleep?
In Sleep, I mean. In
Sleep, yeah. In Sleep, well, no, because I think for Sleep, I mean, any way that you get through those 8 hours is sort of a valid response, really. I mean, sometimes some people, they turn up at midnight, they go to bed, and, they wake up at the end. Other people stay up all night listening, and most people do a bit of both. If people fell asleep in Recomposed, I would be quite surprised, because it's kind of a banger. So,
it's my understanding that the New Zealand show is only 2 hours, is that right?
Recomposed is the normal length, which is like about an hour, but the Sleep show is just over 8 hours.
Oh, so you will be giving both shows here?
Yeah, we're doing that one, we're doing Recomposed, we're doing Sleep, and we're playing Three Worlds, which is the ballet.
Big job.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, this is my final question. It's not really, obviously you've been a composer and you put out a lot of work. I Wikipedia'd you, and one of the lines is you're known for your prolific output. But in terms of perhaps throughout your whole career, as a creative at any point in your career, have you found it difficult to sustain creative energy while also trying to study or work to provide an income or just live? How do you sort of manage that?
Well, that's the big question for any artist, isn't it? How do you manage to find enough space and time to do the work you want to do, to sort of do justice to your ideas, to realize the things you want to realize, and feed yourself? and that just takes a long time. It takes a long time. I mean, decades. Way after I'd made my first records, I was still you know, quite regularly homeless. I mean, it was just, you know, it's really tough. It's really, really tough.
You mean it takes that time to build up that reputation or even just to learn how to deal with it mentally?
Yeah, it takes time to make good things, and it takes time for an audience to find you. I mean, the first performance of my record Memory House was 10 years after I released it. You know, so it takes time.
Do you think that in itself, that's a critique of neoliberalism, that we aren't allowed to create?
Well, the market drives everything now. So, I mean, unless you can sell it, then, you know, it's sort of irrelevant in the way society is set up now. You know, if it doesn't have a sort of immediate monetary value, then it kind of might as well not exist. I think that's a big challenge. It's a big challenge.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.